It is a beautiful day here in the capital of the great state of New York, Albany, the site of Giants training camp 2012. 85 degrees and sunny, the Giants back on their normal practice fields. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. We're joined by Michael Eisen. The show, of course, brought to you by Andrew Mark. Michael, how are you?
I'm great. Beautiful day today, John.
Coach could not be happier to be back on the practice field. He talked about it a lot at his post-practice press conference, which, of course, you can see on Giants.com in its entirety. And he was just thrilled to have the guys out here. He loved the intensity, loved the attitude.
Well, I think the players were much happier than they were yesterday when they had the practice on the turf in the rain. They didn't like that. They don't like to work out on the turf. They were back on the grass field today. Much more comfortable, and it was a lively, energetic practice.
And we saw more contact today, Mike, than we've seen in the first couple days of practice. And tomorrow we get into full pads for the first time. That's always fun.
Yeah, I think it's normal as you progress through practice, you start getting more contact. I expect some tempers to start flaring now, and it'll get more exciting as we go on.
Now, without Richie Seibert here, who's going to be the guy that starts the first training camp role?
That's a good question. You know, we had Ryan Purvis and Adrian Tracy have a little disagreement yesterday, but they didn't go at it. You know, I guess you could really pick any one of those offensive linemen and put a bet on him because that's where the first fracas usually starts.
We, of course, take your calls right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com at 518-437-3774, 518-437-3774. We also take your questions and comments on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Send them in. Or later on today, we'll show you a couple questions off the Giants message boards on Giants.com as well. All right, Michael, let's start with practice today. We talked about extra contact. A big focus today, it seemed like, on the running game and on the short passing game. A lot of screen passes.
Yeah, not a lot of downfield throws today, and that's probably why I had the more contact. Worked on the running game a lot. There were a lot of screen passes, a lot of short and intermediate passes. It doesn't make for the most exciting practice, I think, for the fans, but it's basic plays that you've got to work on and you've got to get down.
And another trick play. I had to look around and say, what training camp am I at here? Is this Tom Coughlin's practice? Today it was Dominic Hickson on the end around trying to throw a pass. Didn't work.
Didn't work. Never got the pass off. But, yeah, that's 2 days in a row after yesterday's fake punt. So maybe the Giants are going to introduce some razzle-dazzle to their offense, or maybe they're just fooling us.
Now, odds are they're not going to use it anyway. But considering it failed in practice, it pretty much has no shot.
You would think so. No one was open, so Dominic Hickson couldn't even throw the ball. So it's really not his fault. They got to find somebody to get open on the play.
All right, we'll get to more practice highlights in just a second, Mike. But for now, let's go to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air with Mike and John. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, Caller, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, this is Renee. I'm calling from Hawaii.
What's going on? Hawaii, I like
Hawaii.
It.
I just have a question. Martellus Bennett, I have a lot of friends that are Cowboys fans, and they were really happy to get rid of him and saying that he had no focus, he wasn't determined. How's he looking in camp? Is he getting on track with Eli? Is he doing good?
Well, John and I were talking earlier that Martellus Bennett was really noticeable for the first time today. Made a couple of nice plays, including that leaping grab over Kenny Phillips in the red zone drill near the end of practice. But, you know, Martellus Bennett is on a one-year contract, so he really has to step up and prove himself. And really, the Giants need him most to be an outstanding blocker, and we really haven't seen that yet, not through fault of his fault, but we're not in pads yet. When we get into pads and the practices become more physical, we get into the preseason, that's where he can prove himself. But this is a huge, huge year for Martellus Bennett.
And Dan Graziano, who covers the NFC East for ESPN, he tweeted yesterday on his Twitter account, he had a chance to talk to Tom Coughlin, I guess, on one-on-one basis after practice yesterday, and Jerry Reese for that matter. And Jerry Reese said to him that any receptions and receiving numbers you get on Martellus Bennett is a bonus. They really need him as a blocker.
Well, that's where Jake Ballard was sort of overlooked as a blocker last year. He did a very good job blocking at the tight end position last year. The Giants need someone to fill that void. Martellus Bennett is first up. If he can't do it, I'm not sure where they turn, but Martellus is a big body. He's athletic. He certainly seems to have the physical tools to do it. Now he's just got to go out and perform.
It's funny, though. He had that one great catch today against Anchor, roll down the seam, used his big frame, his big size to catch the ball over his head. But he doesn't seem to have a lot of speed to me. Just with the eye test, he doesn't seem like he's that fast.
No, he really doesn't. But, you know, speed, I think, for a tight end is not as important as just being able to get open, finding the voids in the defense. being strong and being able to, as he did with Roll, kind of muscle off the defender and get the ball. I mean, he's going to, as we saw with Antro Roll, he's going to have height and mismatches to take advantage of, and he's got to be able to do that.
Well, so let's stick with the offense then. Another big play in practice today, a Jarrell Jernigan deep pass down the sideline. I believe he beat Terrell Thomas on the play, and he made another catch down the field. This guy's really shown a lot catching the football in practice so far here in Albany.
He really has. He's been the early star in camp. I would just throw a word of caution. It's only been 3 days, and we have a long, long, even he said we have a long way to go, and he's got to be able to do it in the games. But the opportunity is there for him, and for a guy who did not have a reception as a rookie last year, he is playing very well. But all those second-year players really should perform better because they had the off-season program, which they did not have last year. So if those guys don't step up, you'd have to start to wonder about them.
Let's go back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air with Mike and John. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is Canton from Toms River, New Jersey.
What's up, Canton? How are you?
Doing good. I heard that Mark Herzlick is starting to look like a pass coverage demon. Is there any chance that he's going to become the player that he was before he had the cancer at Boston College and look like the player he was, at Boston College before cancer? I heard he's looking good. He's covering the tight ends pretty swiftly. So what do you think?
He has looked good so far in camp. He's still playing behind Chase Blackburn. He made a play today. Herzlick did. Actually tipped a pass that wound up being caught, but he did tip the ball. He just tipped it up instead of down. I don't really know whether he can become the same player he was at Boston College simply because, frankly, Mark Herzlick is not blessed with tremendous speed, and the NFL is a much, much faster league than the ACC. He's a very good football player, but he's really got to show that he has the speed to play at this level.
Now, I'm guessing that Canton either read the transcript or watched Tom Coughlin's press conference. Is it imagine how fans can take one question from a media member? You know, he made one play on a Bear Pascal play over the middle, and all of a sudden he's a pass coverage demon.
Yeah, I know. I think Mark Herzlick, if he's going to play middle linebacker, better learn to stop the run first.
All right, Mike, a couple other plays in practice I want to get to. Let's stick with the defense. Two interceptions. Let's start with Tyler Sash first, playing that deep safety position, made a nice diving catch for the interception.
Yeah, went to the ground. Tyler Sash is one of those guys who always seems to be overlooked, I guess because he was one of those rookies who did not play a lot last year. But he's got a chance. You know, the backup safety jobs are wide open on this team, and Tyler's got to continue to make plays like that to secure one.
And the other play came from Corey Webster, playing man-on-man down the sideline, tipped the ball up, concentrated. I think he was covering Victor Cruz, if I remember properly, got the interception on the pass.
Yeah, Corey Webster, as he's become, I don't want to say in his later years, but as he's become more experienced in the league, has really become more of a ball hawk at cornerback.
Six last year, right?
Six interceptions last year, which was the most by a Giant in 11 years. And we've seen it early in camp, too, Corey really going for the ball. And one thing else about Corey I thought was interesting, he was really on Reuben Randall today after Reuben Randall made a couple of, was unable to catch the balls downfield and was sort of jogging, not even jogging, really walking back to the huddle. And Corey Webster was yelling at him, come on, 82, you got to jog back. So it was one LSU guy kind of prodding another LSU guy.
It looked like Randall was a little gassed at times.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Yeah. We're taking your calls here on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com at 518-437-3774. Also, we're taking your questions on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Let's go to Twitter. This question comes in from Philip C. Do you feel Ramsey's Barden, Mike, is much improved from last year to this year?
Oh, right, a Ramsey's Barden question.
Well, it wouldn't be a show without it.
No, it wouldn't. Do I think he's much improved? He made a couple of plays in practice
healthy.
Today.
I mean, that's really the bottom line, right?
Yeah, but he really, Ramsey's Barden is frankly starting to get a reputation as one of these players who makes plays in practice but can't transfer it to game. I mean, you could be all pro in practice, but if you can't do it in a game, it doesn't mean anything. And this is really, his fourth year. This is a big training camp for him. He's really got to show he can do it in games.
Yeah, we saw that from Sonoris Moss with the Giants for a long time at training camp. He would dominate. No one could cover a man on man. But then when you get to a game, all of a sudden, it's
everybody
like you're not
could
out
cover
there.
Him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you don't want to have that reputation. And Ramsey's Barden has got to start doing it. I expect now him to go out and make plays in practice. He's got to do it when the games are played.
And the preseason game against Jacksonville, the first one on next Friday, will be a huge one.
You think
one for
he'll he'd get a lot of playing time in that game.
And he has to take advantage of it. Another question on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Keep them coming. This one comes from Chuck R. Behind Ahmad Bradshaw, which running back will get the most carries this season, and how many touches per game will that player get, whomever it might be?
Well, touches per game, I can't even begin to predict because so much depends on the individual game. And, you know, Tom Coughlin, as much as he talks about balance, he does admit he doesn't want to take the ball out of Eli Manning's hands too often. But if to identify a player who's going to get the most touches, I think from what we've seen, I think you would agree, Don, David Wilson has looked very good early in camp. And I would be surprised if he was not the number two halfback.
And we'll hear from David Wilson a little bit later on in the show at 518-437-3774. That is your phone number. Let's go back to the busy phones. Cola, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Cola, what's up? All right, looks like we lost our phone call there. We'll get back to him. Hopefully you can give us a call back and get you right back on. But for now, late earlier in the day, we have a chance at lunch to talk to players. Anita Marks was at camp today. She had a chance to talk to one of the new Giants, Keith Rivers. And she asked Keith what it's been like adjusting to life as a New York Giant.
Adjusting, all right, I guess. And, you know, excited to compete with all the guys. All the guys are really good players, so it's going to be fun. And no expectations. I mean, you know, my personal expectations, but, you know, I'm just coming out to try to compete and contribute.
Talk about Perry Fuel, defensive coordinator, excited to play in his system.
Very excited. You know, he's a great coordinator, and the fact that he allows guys to do what they do best, and you know, it shows, and it has shown, as you know, while he's been the coordinator.
And I do follow you on Twitter, by the way, Giants fans. He's a great follow on Twitter. Just Keith Rivers, right?
Rivers 55.
Rivers 55, and you're somewhat of a world class traveler. I mean, talk about that. You really is that one of the things you like to do a lot? Is travel the country?
I try to. Well, the world actually. I try to every off season make a big trip to Europe. Last off season it was Paris, Amsterdam, London. And this previous one was Amalfi and Capri. So.
And so what's the best place, the greatest place you visited?
I like Paris a lot. It's kind of a walking museum, you know, with all the history there. But I'm excited to check some more places out. Maybe I'll do a little Eastern Bloc trip next offseason.
And, of course, Keith Rivers is one of the Giants' newest linebackers. He's been splitting time on the weak side with Michael Boley. And both guys, Mike, are battling some minor hamstring problems right now, but I don't think it's anything to worry about. Both of them out on the practice field, Boley with the first team, Rivers with the second team.
Well, thank you, Dr. Schmelk. I'm glad you don't think they're...
Well, Coach Coughlin didn't seem too worried about it. I'm going to trust Coach.
Yeah, you never know with hamstrings, but he said they'd probably miss a couple of days, but it's just too bad that both of those guys, basically in the same position, are out. But it's good for Spencer Paysinger, who's been playing with the ones at weak side linebacker.
And I saw some Mathias Kiwanuka with the twos, by the way, I thought was interesting today. He was playing with Greg Jones. I guess that was a big goal line package, I
would say. They're working different packages, different players. This is the time of camp when you want to experiment different guys in different spots and see how they react.
Unfortunately, one guy the Giants do not have on the practice field is wide receiver Hakeem Nicks. He's been at camp. He, in fact, arrived to camp early to run a little bit. He's trying to get back, and he seems like he's on schedule, could return by mid-August. The Giants don't want to rush him. He spoke to the media earlier today here in Albany.
You know, definitely no setbacks. Everything's going the way we planned. We're just, you know, sticking to the things that, you know, the doctors and the trainers told us to do.
Have you started running or doing anything yet?
Yes, I started running already.
On grass or on the field?
Uh-huh, on the field.
How did it feel?
Felt pretty good. You know, wasn't no setbacks. I do more gradually as weeks go on, days go on. So, you know, we're just going to keep doing what I'm doing and taking it from there.
You haven't started cutting or anything yet, have you?
No, I haven't started cutting yet. That should be, today or, you know, over the next couple of days, whenever the trainers decide.
Do they have a pretty good grasp on you to keep you from doing too much? You know, you see these guys out here, and it's going to get, you know, tempting.
Right, yeah, it definitely gets tempting. That's no question about it. But, you know, I'm just sticking to the script, like they said. I definitely want to be out there, but, you know, we got to do the right thing, be smart about it. You know, don't want to prolong this injury.
Their timetable said so we put you in, you know, back about mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, when you look at the date and how you feel, you say that sounds about right?
That sounds about right. You know, if that's what they're saying, you know, I'm seeing the doctors day in and day out. You know, everything looked good about it. So, you know, we're just going to keep taking it day to day and, you know, hope for the best.
Is there any concern about when you come back, you're going to have missed some preseason games, getting time with them?
I don't think it's too much concern. I think we kind of got that relationship where we know, you know, I know what he likes. You know, he knows me. You know, he knows my route. I'm just going to be a matter of making sure I'm back in game shape so I don't, you know, come back and have no other little nagging injuries to come from that.
Since you haven't been able to run as much as maybe you normally would in an offseason team, is conditioning something you're worried about?
I don't think it's nothing you're worried about, but, you know, to get back in football shape, you got to, you know, be playing football, you know, getting those reps. So, you know, when I get back out there first week, it might be a little, you know, breathtaking, but, you know, nothing I can't handle.
And that's Akeem Nicks, Mike. When do you think we're going to see Akeem on the field for the first time? Will it be in Albany or will it be back at the TPC?
I do not think it will be in Albany. We leave here August 14th or
15th. Will he play in a preseason game?
I don't think he will play in a preseason game. I think the Giants are going to be very cautious with him. I think he'll start to practice late in August and be ready for the regular season opener. I'd be surprised if he played in a preseason game.
518-437-3774, 518-437-3774. Back to our busy phones. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Cole, you there? We'll get back to the phones in just a second. For now, let's get back to Twitter at #GiantsChat. This comes in from Mitchell R. He's concerned about the offensive line, Mike. How do William Beattie and James Brewer look so far in camp?
Well, I haven't really seen a whole lot of James Brewer, but Will Beattie looks okay at left tackle. He had, obviously, his eye surgery last year and then missed most of the spring drills with his back, the sore back. He says the back feels good. They're monitoring it very carefully, but he says he's had no problems. Knock on wood, and he looks good.
But, of course, we don't really know all that much until these guys get some pads on and they start hitting each other.
Absolutely. You can't tell a whole lot about linemen until they do start hitting each other with pads on. We'll know a whole lot more, I guess, starting tomorrow. But I think with Will Beattie, he has passed the first hurdle, which is getting back out there and showing that his back is not going to be an issue.
Let's get back to the phones on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark at 518-437-3774. Cola, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Kaiser from Yonkers, your old friend.
Kaiser's back in business in 2012. Not sure how we feel about that, but go ahead, Kaiser.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Mike. I want to ask you about Marvin Austin. With Canny's injury, and how's Marvin looking? Is he going to get some reps? How's he looking this training camp?
He's been in there. He's not working with the first team. Rocky Bernard and Sean Rogers have been splitting time with the first team without Canty. But Bernard has been getting reps. You know, again, it's a little hard to tell with linemen because they're not really going full speed without the pads yet. But I think Marvin Austin is a guy who's going to play a lot in the preseason. As we all know, he has not played a game since 2009. He's really got to get back to football speed. So I would reserve judgment on him because he hasn't played in so long. But he certainly seems to have the physical tools to be a very good defensive tackle in the NFL.
And that's why tomorrow's so much fun. And we'll focus on the offensive line and defensive line on tomorrow's show, Mike. When you get into pads for the first time, that's when you can see what the linemen are doing and you can really see what the running backs are doing.
Yeah, and, you know, you also have the stamina issues when you get in the pads. It's just obviously a much more physical. It's more like, quote-unquote, real football. And it's been, you know, you got to remember, it's been a long time. It's been, what, since February when we played the Super Bowl since they've worn pads. So it's going to be a very interesting day tomorrow.
Well, the first 3 days of practice, we have seen a lot from Eli Manning and his wide receivers. Eli had a chance to address the New York media earlier in the day up here in Albany. Let's listen to the Giants captain and starting quarterback.
Just coming in, you know, having a feel for the offense, just understanding some of the ins and outs, not having to relearn everything, but, you know, kind of playing at a faster speed just because he has a lot understanding of what, you know, what's going on, what are all the options, what are all the things he can do. So, you know, again, got off to a good start, doing some good things, hopefully, you know, continue to do that.
You know, speaking of Victor, I mean, he's made a couple of plays in, you know, first couple of days of practice that may have been pretty good. I mean, are you surprised that he's, like, diving for balls and things like that?
No, I mean, that's the way you know, Victor, he practices and everything's full speed and everything's full go, and you know, that's why he's had great success. You know, he's trying to get open, he's competitive every day at practice, you know, trying to continue to learn and understand the, you know, the ins and outs of getting open and working, you know, on the outside receiver as well as in the slot. So, you know, I think those are the guys that all, you know, have success, and they treat practice like a game. And when you get in that game, you know, game experience, you're prepared for it.
Do you at all say wow at the times when he makes, like, the first pass I think he threw at camp? I mean, he kind of slipped, his feet went out from under him, and he gets up, reaches back. I mean, he's it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, he makes some good plays. So, you know, you look at the good part is the catch, and you look at, you know, why did he slip also. So, you know, there's two different aspects of the play, and looking at his body lean and all those things, and you try to correct that, and then congratulate him on the good catch as well.
That's Giants quarterback Eli Manning talking about the Giants wide receivers, Jarrell Jernigan, Victor Cruz. There's a lot of guys here, Mike. What do you talk about Ramsey's Barden? How do you see this depth chart shaking out as training camp carries on here?
Well, it's interesting. You just mentioned three guys, and you didn't talk about the one who's filling in for Akeem Nicks on the first team.
Dominic Hixon. Right.
And he always seems to be the overlooked wide receiver around here. And it's sort of odd at this point because any time he's been in there, he's producing. Even those two games last year he played before he got hurt, he made a great catch for a touchdown against St. Louis. Dominic Hixon's one of those guys who – people dismiss, but he doesn't go away, and he always is in there and producing. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. How it's going to work out exactly when Hakeem comes back, I'm not really sure. I would guess that if I had to pick the top three now, it would be Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and Dominic Hixon, with Jarrell Jernigan pushing them.
Tell you what, Douglas, the young man's made a couple plays too.
He has made he made how many catches did he make today? Five,
half seven, dozen. Yeah,
he was all over the place. So. I think the four we mentioned would be the top four. I think Ramsey's Barden is really right now sort of on the outside. He has a chance to move himself in. You know, everyone keeps talking about how he can be a red zone receiver. Here's his chance. Let's prove it.
Let's see it indeed. Now, one of the guys that's covering these wide receivers is Terrell Thomas. Coming back from injury, he was kind of on and off the practice field a little bit today, was icing his knee a bit. But Coach Coughlin said in his post-game press conference that's really just going to be managing his return from that ACL.
Yeah, anytime you come back from an ACL, the knee's going to flare up every once in a while. Terrell went through most of the practice. I think maybe became a little sore at the end. I was actually near him. He just decided to get it iced. I don't think it's a big deal, and I'm sure he'll be out there tomorrow. If we could just go back to the receivers for
sure.
A second, we both omitted Reuben Randall. So, you know, he was in there. He made some plays today, but as you mentioned, and I agree with you, he seemed to fade a little bit toward the end of practice. You know, but he'll certainly be in the mix. But I wouldn't place him in the top four right now.
And we'll hear
with Hicks included.
No question about it. Now, we'll hear from Terrell Thomas in just a second. But first, I want to go back to our phone calls at 518-437-3774. Phone call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Steve. I'm from Bricktown.
Steve, what's up?
How you doing, John? How you doing, Mike?
Great,
doing well.
Steve. How are you?
Doing well. We picked up Sean Rogers in the offseason, a defensive tackle. Justin Tuck said a while back that he's hungry. He wants to get a Super Bowl ring. And he was a great player back with Detroit and Cleveland for a bit there, but he disappeared last year in New Orleans. Can he be that player that he was in the past? Can he bring anything to the table this year?
It's funny you would mention Sean Rogers and hungry and table in the same
pun
sentence.
Intended, yes. Right? I would hope.
Because he is, everyone here has pretty much had a variation of the same statement, which is Linval Joseph's a big man, but standing next to Sean Rogers, he looks like Jarrell Jernigan.
If you stand anybody next to Sean Rogers, they're going to look
Sean
small.
Sean Rogers is huge. Can he still play? He says he has the desire. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He has had a great career. He's in his 12th season. He does very much want to win a championship, but he's got to prove that he's got the desire to, you know, to make a big impact here. And he's getting an opportunity without Chris Canty in training camp and even uncertain into the start of the regular season. Sean Rogers and Rocky Bernard both have big opportunities here.
No doubt about it. Now, his fellow defensive guy who we talked about just a moment ago is Terrell Thomas. He talked to the New York media in Albany a couple of days ago about his return from his knee injury and where he is in terms of his health. Let's take a listen to Terrell.
Been through four injuries and overcame all of them and came back better than people expected. So I'm excited for the challenge and just to be part of a great group of guys, defensive bowl champs, and you know, help them in any which way I can.
And you always wanted to come back here?
Yeah, it's a great organization. You know, they team first, family first. I can't say nothing but good things about this organization and how they handled my whole situation. And I'm just happy to be back and, playing with such a great coaching staff and group of guys.
Bro, how is the secondary going to change this year? There's no Deion, there's no Aaron. You're back, and Trell should slide back into the safety. Prince is going to play more. How do you see the secondary changing this year?
I think we're going to make a statement this year. I think we're tired of being the underdog of the defense. Obviously, our front four is the big name, but, we help them out a lot and vice versa. Antrell's a Pro Bowl player. Corey Webster should have been a Pro Bowl caliber guy. Kenny's been solid, and we got a bunch of young guys that's ready to play. And I think we're excited for the challenge, to prove a lot of people wrong.
Sorry, this is a repeat question, but how much work do you expect to get in
here? I have no idea. That's up to the coaches in the front office. I'm not limited in any way. I'm excited. Worked my butt off to get to this point. I told you guys I'd be ready day one, and here it is, and I'm ready to go.
And Terrell Thomas was indeed ready to go once he got through that back injury, Mike. He was back on the field. You like to see that. As you mentioned, he was kind of stretched out on the sideline, but for the most part, he was in there. He was fine. They're just going to wisely, by the way, manage this knee injury. You want him 100% on opening day.
Yeah, there's no point in overdoing it, especially, John, since we have, I think it's 10 cornerbacks in camp.
Many of which can really play.
A lot of them can play. A lot of them have experience. I think right now it's our deepest position. Of course, I think it was last year at this time, too. And then before you could blink, about five of them went down for the season. So maybe
don't
it's good that
it,
we
Mike.
Have 10. I don't want to jinx. I'm knocking on the wood, John. But, yeah, Terrell Thomas, I think, will get just enough reps to keep him sharp to go into the regular season without overtaxing him.
Now, who do you think has played well so far from that defensive back group?
Well, we mentioned earlier, Corey Webster, I think, he's really of the 10, he's really number one. He's the guy who started every game last year, led the team with six interceptions. He's the most experienced. He's the oldest. He's become kind of a mentor to all those guys. And I think he is aware of that position as kind of leader of the secondary now, and he's really stepped up, I think, early in camp and played well.
All right, Mike, we have a couple questions from the Giants message boards. Now, you can submit these questions in the morning, and we'll bring them on to the show. You go to boards.giants.com, and our first question comes from NYC sports fan. Who do you think has the best chance of making the team out of the undrafted free agent pool? He thinks it's Jansen Jackson or Julian Talley. It's tough to say this early.
Yeah, it's really tough to say this early. The receiver we mentioned earlier.
Douglas,
yeah, sorry. He has stood out to me.
Will Hill's another guy that
Will,
people
yeah,
really like.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned, I would say Will Hill. He is a guy who had a very good career at the University of Florida, got into some issues off the field.
Local kid from
drafted,
New Jersey, too.
Local kid, was the Star Ledger Player of the Year, the Offensive Player of the Year. He has a wealth of talent. He just has to stay on the straight and narrow. And safety is a position where, as we mentioned earlier, the Giants need help.
All right, our second question comes from G-Men again. How many linebackers will make the 53-man roster? Who are the linebackers most in danger of not making the cut?
Again, how many linebackers always depends on, are they going to keep an extra defensive tackle because of Canty? Are they going to keep one of those extra corners because they have so many good ones? It's hard to say. As far as who is most in danger,
it's really early.
We had three non-contact practices. You kind of wonder, with Rivers coming in, is there going to be room for all four of those second-year guys who played so well? Jaquan Williams is going to play, obviously. Is Herzlick going to step up and play well? Greg Jones, we got a lot of middle linebackers now. He's playing a little bit on the outside. Can he play on the outside?
And Coach mentioned at his press conference that he thought Greg Jones had a few very good days at practice playing outside, too.
That's right. So a lot of competition there. If they're all good, a lot will depend on who plays well on special teams. Those backup linebackers have to play well on special teams. And also Keith Rivers, we said it's a minor hamstring. He's got to get back on. He's got to be on the field.
Now, the guy who wrote the question wanted to add same question for wide receivers. We already kind of covered that, so I'm going to skip that by again. Now, once again, anybody at practice that we haven't mentioned really stand out to you today that has struck Michael Eisen's fancy?
I thought Steve Weatherford punted pretty well.
Tynes.
One thing I do want to say, and we always seem to overlook him in these shows, Eli Manning's really throwing the ball well.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's a guy that sometimes comes in camp the first few days, and I'm not going to say he's shaky, but is not as sharp as he might be later.
Right. I think he's really throwing the ball well, and I think it's just an example of how we almost take him for granted now. We talk about, 60 guys on a roster without mentioning the most important player, and he has really come out of camp well, maybe as well as he's ever played in the first three days of camp. I don't know how much that means, but he seems to be really sharp early on.
All right, Mike, very quickly, let's squeeze in a call before we say goodbye here. Cole, you're on the air with Mike and John. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
I've got a quick question. You know, with Jacobs leaving this year, we had that big second opening in the running back position. Wondering, based on a few days in training camp so far, what they're saying the most likely candidate for that backup to Bradshaw is looking to be.
Well, I think if we had to pick one, as we said, it would be David Wilson, the number one draft choice. He has the kind of speed and explosiveness that, John, I don't think we've seen around here for a while.
I've never seen it in my time.
Although yet. I noticed Danny Ware was running with the first team at times today. So they still think very highly of Danny Ware, DJ Ware, I'm sorry. So, but I would have to rate it right now, David Wilson and DJ Ware behind Ahmad. I don't think anyone's going to supplant Ahmad Bradshaw as the starter.
And I should mention, Darrell Scott, Justin Tretel both did in practice today, recovering from ankle injuries. No word on how serious either one of those injuries are
right now. No, we don't know yet.
Michael, thank you very much as always. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, John.
And, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark, comes your way every day after practice on Giants.com. At 5:30, we take your calls, tweets, questions, the message boards. We do all that good stuff every day. The Giants have practice here in Albany. Tuesday's our day off. No show on Tuesday, but we will have a show tomorrow at 5:30. We'll focus on the offensive line, defensive line, and on the Giants running game. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.